Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here and happy August.
Yeah, after a month or so on hiatus. Michael Kelly also here with us as usual.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program in the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which helps the friends and families of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief, which is customary. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. To read the expanded version of these nine principles, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, for our return program, we have Dr. Norman Wilson with us this evening as a guest speaker. He's been on the program many times, and it's always great to have him back. And he's going to be talking a little bit about the topic on soul versus spirit. I had listened to one of his broadcasts from a few weeks ago, and he was talking about this, and it intrigued me. So I asked him if he'd come on and talk about it. Welcome, Dr. Norman.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly and Dr. Hunter, and hi, Michael.
He says hi, but his mic's muted.
Yes, I understand that.
So, you know, let me start with this, I guess, Dr. Norman. Soul versus spirit. You say there's a difference between the two, and I'm sure you're going to get to that as you begin your discussion, so feel free.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be back. 3 years ago, I gave a talk on your show about the concept that we are souls with a human body. I would like to sort of revisit that just for a moment. During that talk, I pointed out that the human body eventually crumbles, passes away, but not the soul. The eternal nagging question is, what is the soul? And I've had an abiding interest in this concept for many years. I have three very large three-ring binders filled with notes and articles about the soul. Oh, a couple hundred books in the library on religion and various concepts and philosophy about the soul. But the nagging question remains, what is the soul? To say that the soul is that which is tells us nothing. Frankly, it ignores the question. Additionally, we're told that the soul is the essence that makes us human. Well, what do we mean by essence? And we could certainly talk about that one for a long time. And my answer to that is, so what? the soul is not a part of Buddhism or Judaism. In Christianity, the Bible is not clear as to what the soul is. So for now, I would like to propose a working definition without religious and or philosophical involvement. And just for now, I would like the listening audience and those who are in the chat room to accept my definition. Maybe it will generate some thinking on your own for you to re-examine and do a little research. For me, the soul, having a human body, is at its most simplistic level, is energy. Even at the very moment of conception, there's energy. The soul is an all-pervading energy. And as you know, modern science tells us energy cannot be destroyed. For me, that means the soul exists forever. Yet tonight, my title suggests perhaps something other than that. Soul and spirit and their loss. Well, how can that be? Is there a conflict here? How can I go ahead and say the soul exists forever and at the same time imply a loss of soul, a loss of spirit? Hopefully, at the end of my little talk tonight, you will see that there really isn't a contradiction. One area that causes confusion is the frequent interchanging of the words spirit and soul. Spirit is not all-pervading. Soul is. Spirit is individualized, that is, referencing the specific personalities and emotions that define one's character. Whenever one experiences a physical or an emotional trauma, she or he may have spirit loss. Now, spirit loss shows up as depression, anxiety, lethargy, bouts of crying, nausea, loss of appetite, and loss of sleep. Soul brings us another challenge, and it's a big one. If soul is what constitutes humanness, does that mean one is no longer human if there has been soul loss? From a psychological point of view, it's a loss of one's normal integration of conscious functioning, a disassociation, if you will. Soul loss defines a lack of physical and or emotional energy. A person may feel lackluster. I think that's probably as good a way of describing it as anything. Now, you can experience soul loss because a part of it has been stolen. And boy, does that really open up a whole new bag of inquiries. A part may be stolen by an evil entity through spell casting or by a jealous person. Part of one's soul may be kept by a loving parent who's not ready to let their child leave the nest. This is particularly true maybe of a mother who isn't ready for her daughter to go and be married and go off and create a world and a life of her own. In such cases, no ill intent is present. Just a little bit of paternal jealousy and selfishness maybe, excuse me, selfishness, not jealousy. We may experience soul loss because of a frightening trauma. Or maybe you're one of those persons who have experienced soul loss because you have felt unwanted, either by your parents or loved ones, and society generally. And an abusive situation can bring about soul loss. Now, many of these, I think, unfortunately so, are only temporary. And with a healer, and I remind you that I am a shaman, or with a spiritual counselor, and I'm one of those, the suffering individual can get help to heal themselves. Well, the shaman, the counselor, doesn't do the healing. And anybody who tells you they can heal you that way, run as fast as you can. The goal is to help the individual come to grips with what is causing their issue. There's another aspect of soul loss that's grabbing my attention and other people lately, and it might prove to be of interest to some of your students, Dr. Kelly and Dr. Hunter, as topics for their own research. And it's called soul transfer, and sometimes it's referred to as walk-ins. That's two words, walk-ins. It was made popular by Ruth Montgomery's book back in 1979 called Strangers Among Us. And what brought it back to my attention, I have a friend who lives on the Isle of Wight in England, in the British Isles, who is a medium. And so she asked me, have you been getting any talk and any feedback about walk-in souls? Now, for whatever reason, a person whose original soul has left them, has left the body, and has been replaced with a new soul, it doesn't make any difference necessarily the reason. The new soul generally, according to what I've read, is more advanced than the one that it has replaced. Now, such a replacement or transfer or a walk-in is done only with an agreement between the original soul and the new one. Maybe the old soul needs to go somewhere else to do something else. I don't know. That said, the soul that has been transferred, the one that has walked in, the new one, just maybe this accounts for people who suddenly play Mozart and Beethoven and Bach when they've never had a piano or a music lesson in their lives. Maybe it accounts for the person who paints like Picasso without ever having had an art lesson. Or how about that kid that blows through 4 years of college by the age of 11? I'm sure the listeners, as well as my hosts, have heard of she's an old soul or he's an old soul.
Definitely.
I wonder if there's been a little problem in the transfer of the new soul with the old soul there. What about the possibility of sensing past lives? Is that the reason for our experiencing that, because there's been a transfer of soul, a walk-in of a new one that has experienced past lives? And how about it for those who have lived many past lives? Is that the answer, the transfer of souls? Think about those questions. In closing, I would like to remind you that you and every other human being is of this earth. It is of fire, air, and water. And you're like a magnet. You're drawn to express that beautiful connection to your soulness through your song, your literature, and especially through your everlasting dance. The dance gyrates your synchronized movements with those of the cosmos, resulting in a marriage of spirit and soul. And to bring about this marvelous connection to the music of life, music is added, so there is a spiritual courtship, allowing an endless flow of time. Magically, you transcend to new realities, filled with awe and delight. And at the end of this dance, you slip back into your cocoon and wait for the next dance. I prefer to call it the rebirth of a soul. Thank you for listening. Namaste.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Great points. Very interesting. And you know, that's the thing, you know, that the spirit and the soul, and it makes so much sense. You know, you talk about a person's spirit. Well, we're not necessarily referring to their soul per se. That's what was intriguing to me. Dr. Hunter, any comments?
Well, I was thinking about the walk-ins. Do you think, Dr. Norm, though, that that is a really rare occurrence?
I really haven't been able to come up with some real solid thoughts on that. It just sort of blew me away that my medium friend became so intrigued in this. And whether she's picking up something, I haven't been able to talk to her about that yet, but I plan to. I would suspect, though, Dr. Hunter, that it is rare. Just like the people who suddenly play Mozart and so on. It's rare. I don't know how many people, I know of maybe two that have lived past lives. How about you?
Well, I remember 1,000 years of lifetimes. I'm just thinking about, though, see, we can take this in so many different directions, quantum physics, all time is occurring at this moment,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. But the point of walk-ins, I've often asked myself this, could it not just be simply, rather than walk in, it's more like that individual evolved and expanded into more of who they were born to be.
Ooh, love that. I don't know why not.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Repeat that again.
I think that's really an important point.
That when someone has one of those shifts in their energy and their consciousness, could that rather than being a walk-in, be more of them expanding to be more of who they're born to be.
Sure.
So when you're expanding your consciousness, you're tapping in to the universal consciousness.
Yes.
It may appear as though that's a different so-called personality, when in fact that is who they're born to be.
I just love that. I'm going to do that. Give me a whole new assignment.
Because I tell you this, I've had people tell me I'm a walk-in, and I don't believe it. Like, because I'm integrally who I have always been. I'm just more and greater. And as I evolve in this lifetime, my psychology changes, the emotional development changes, everything changes. You know, even physically, there have been shifts and changes. But I'm intact. Like, who I came into, that connection at birth, I'm just more awake.
Mm-hmm.
And it also altered my psychic abilities, not just my reading people, just my auto-sensory perception, that increased. But, you know, it changed my whole intuitive process because it's now expanded. And it's taken me on many journeys. Especially when I had been called a walk-in, I had heard of walk-ins, thought of walk-ins before. I've not met one. I've met people who change and they've got some kind of mental dissociative disorder.
Yeah,
but because I can see a psychology there of a breakdown, disconnect, and so on. Where mm-hmm. you say, "Wow, you know." So after this, and honestly, this is more than 20 years ago. It took me on a journey thinking about walk-ins. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. I think that it's entirely conceivable that someone agrees to leave this body, some other soul wants in, and there's an agreement. I'm just imagining that that would be an extraordinarily rare experience. I'm thinking, too, though, the point of us when we come to Earth and we join a body, we've got this infancy to adulthood to adjust to this reality. It's like when I was born into this lifetime, honestly, I'd never seen a refrigerator, let alone years later a microwave. You know, it's like, oh, look what's here since I left. You know, I never saw a refrigerator before. Like, so I'm imagining if a soul wants to come in as a walk-in, the psychological adjustment from whatever space-time they've come from would be an enormous impact, like a shock factor. And I'm thinking, how could a soul adjust to what we can gradually adjust to, and they're now like, whoa, that would be some serious shifting. You know what I'm saying?
I imagine there would have to be some form of communication between the original soul and the walk-in.
Well, you know, there's been movies done about it. There's been, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. somebody like, whoa, I'm in a different body. And they make it seem, of course, there's this romanticized approach to it in that regard.
And it's not romanticized. It shouldn't be.
But I'm thinking if the last lifetime they lived was in 1643 and they come into 2018, that's, I don't know about that.
Culture shock.
Serious. Like,
it's got to be culture shock, that's for sure.
Well, it would be a different planet.
Since we're speculating as far as the walk-ins go, let's speculate this way for a moment. What if it's not really walk-ins? What if it's a shift in universes?
Hey, see, that's entirely possible too.
Yeah, it is. It's possible because we have science tells us we have, 10 parallel universes now? And
well,
somebody's talking
infinite.
About a dozen or more, yeah.
There's about 11 dimensions, but there's many worlds theory says infinite number of parallel universes for every outcome, every conceivable outcome.
So I don't know why there couldn't be a shift.
Well, that's why, you know, in this particular universe, we got the president we got.
Well, I have walked through portals, and I mean, I've seen portals, and you're driving down the road and there's a car in front of you and then it's gone. You know, I mean, okay, there's a shift of space-time here. And you're right, Dr. Kelly. I mean, that's a huge notion that we suddenly pass through one of these layers, so to speak. You know, now we're talking about the Mandela effect also, where in that reality this happened, in this reality this has happened, and it's like kind of bonkers. So there's all these possibilities where someone appears to be different, but they walk through a portal.
Yeah, it's interesting speculation, and I want to emphasize that we're speculating a lot on this. There's no
sure
have any scientific basis for it, but we have, you know, I mean, and that's what metaphysics is. It's exploring possibilities, because somewhere out there lies the truth in for all of this, for this reality, for the cosmos, for the universe, and so forth. And let me just interject this, too. If you would like a card pulled in a few minutes, put your name in the chat room. I did post that in the chat room. We got a couple of names. But if you're not following the chat room, if you'd like a card pulled, put your name in there. So, interesting, you know, and that would explain the whole shifting universe thing would explain why we can't find any evidence for Bigfoot, you know, and things like that, and why certain things happen and we can't find any evidence of it, but yet we have all these credible reports by credible witnesses of things happening, and yet we can't seem to put our finger on it. It's very frustrating, you know, and that's why I've always said that it's like there's two common things, fear and confusion, with a lot of UFO sightings or ghost sightings or cryptozoological sightings. You know, it's like, you know, fear and confusion. It's like, if you don't understand it, if you don't have the knowledge behind it, you're afraid of it. If you do have knowledge of these different things and you've investigated them and so forth, there are times when you can have credible reports that contradict one another. If one is true, the other one couldn't possibly be true, but they're both credible reports. And it's like, I don't know, you know, in years ago when we had Paranexus radio program, we going on in Grant Rubendunst was co-hosting that. We talked about, you know, the trickster and things like that, which is, again, going out there on a limb. But it's almost like fear and confusion is what it all boils down to, fear and confusion. If you're not afraid of it, you're confused by it. And so, you know, how do we explain that? How do we get around that? Obviously, the fear part is not hard to get around. You just add knowledge. Knowledge cancels fear. But, you know, the confusion on why we can't nail down some of these different happenings is perplexing.
Well, now you see, I love this discussion. And I know as Dr. Norma's had experiences, so have I, in Indian country, and I've seen a lot of things. And so I'm not discounting the possibilities of soul-body exchanges or shifts from other dimensions. I think that this is, to me, an extraordinary conversation, and it's an extraordinary possibility that we can expand ourselves to have more of that awareness. And I think if we could find ways to even articulate our theories that are plausible to open-minded people, boy, that would sure change a lot of psyches. Much like if we said, hey, I want you to meet my alien buddy. He's from Zoltak, you know. And, you know, that would change a lot of minds, too. And, you know, about our existence and what we're doing with this planet, you know, as a you know, creating a playground, kind of a mess at the moment, but yeah. We to change our psyches. And that's why I love this discussion. I think that it just opens the mind to this isn't it. Like where we are in this moment, we are occurring simultaneously on so many other levels. You know,
I think history demonstrates that.
Exactly.
Of other people, other souls, entities have been around since mankind has been around. And each time I think they progress a little bit further in their development. Maybe we are the original travelers. I don't think that, that we have really arrived at a point in our development where a lot of things are to be known by us yet. And so people get glimpses of things and little tidbits, if you will, as we age and culture ages, kind of thing. So, yeah, this is great. I think I would like to see more discussion of this kind of thing and get rid of the woo-woo stuff.
Yeah. Well, Michael, any comments? Yeah. Never heard from you yet.
Well, this is a great topic because it can be endless, and the funnest questions to ask are the ones that don't have answers. So I'll offer a couple more of those, and you know, the things I think about at times is when a soul is not attached to a physical form, what awareness does that soul have of the physical worlds? Maybe not even just ours. And the other thing that keeps bugging me is it possible for a soul to be grown almost through awareness and consciousness? If something attains awareness, does that itself develop and grow a soul over its course of experience and life that will then add to the universe?
Well, I think that...
Is your middle name Devil?
Yeah,
what's that?
Great question.
I didn't hear what Norm says.
Oh, I was asking Michael if his middle name was Devil for raising those kinds of questions.
Oh. He's a devil.
Well, you know, and it has various applications, especially when we are advancing by leaps and bounds in the realm of, you know, computing technology and power. We're going to very soon perhaps have to deal with thoughts of machine thinking and machine consciousness, and then that would also dictate what kind of life that is. If we define the soul, and we really do kind of, you know, colloquially use the soul as the definition of the thing that has life, that has value.
Comments, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah. I think we have to watch how far we take this, because a machine, even an artificial intelligence, only has what we program it to have.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's speculated that that program could reroute itself, like our neural pathways of our brain, and that AI could suddenly start thinking for itself in ways that it's not programmed. Because we don't, here's the thing, I think that we all start out with good intentions and we can create something where we just don't think it through of the possibilities of what can go wrong. And so, I mean, it's, we're too focused on the things that, oh, I'm going to win. And that's, I think, the unfortunate part about our speculations is, you know, we start creating things that cause us some trouble. But to address how a soul evolves without a body, I mean, I'd have to say my spiritual contact with those souls is that they do evolve. And I can't pretend to, I can speculate and theorize how many levels of whatever that people are going through. But, here's the biggest example I can give you. My ex-husband visited me a couple of years ago. He's been dead for years. And he said, I want you to know that things are different over here. You know, I've let go of all that stuff and I'm really evolving. And I just said, well, how nice for you. Unless that can help me down here, we're still cleaning up your mess. See ya. You know, I mean, yeah. So just because that's not a conversation I would even think to have. I know it's not mine. It's like that is him. Some other energy comes to me. I'm just being honest with him. Like, good for you, but I have to go with that experience, which has no evidence, to say I believe that souls do evolve or have opportunity to evolve, but we're also seeing it from our perspective. I don't think that soul, spirit, the universe has the same emotional, biological attachment that we do. So we speculate through these eyes. They experience through a different expression of energy that's not necessarily emotional, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, Patrick was asking in the chat, he says, are you saying that our curiosity gets the better of us? I would say that's true, Patrick. And again, it's that, you know, we need to reinforce long-term thinking and stop looking at short-term results. And I think that's what really hinders our abilities to, theorize and speculate and wonder. Our wonderment is halted by an immediate need for an immediate result. And that's when I think the curiosity, because, you know, people want to see what they're doing. And so we have to look at long term. I think the atom bomb is a perfect example. Oh, let's see what that can do. Huh. You know, so we have to be more responsible about the possibilities. And I think not only to open our minds and our consciousness, but sometimes just be satisfied with a mystery. And I think that that's a bigger, mm-hmm. I'm happy with the mystery. And there's some things I'm not going to know about, and that's cool.
One of my favorite quotes that I like to remind myself of is by Albert Einstein, and he said that the mysterious is the most beautiful thing that we can experience. And there's a lot of truth to that.
I love that. What do you think, Dr. Norm?
I think he's right. I think there is a mystery, and it's the mystery that drives us forward, that gives us that extra spark, if you want to call it that, it makes it fun. And as I grow older, the mystery becomes more fascinating.
The mystery is what drives us as a species.
Yes,
that's why
absolutely.
That's why we even have this program or all the things we do. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say that it seems like it would be a curse to know everything. I mean, if we really attained our goal and solved all the mysteries, then
yeah,
what would we do?
Well, I don't think there's any. Yeah. I don't think there's any chance of that. There are enough mysteries to last indefinitely, I think.
In the infinite existence.
All right, well, let's switch gears and let's go to our inner oracle cards.
All right.
And just for those of you who may not be aware, our inner oracle card deck is a deck of 54 cards in several different suits. And they're things to make you think. They're self-discovery cards. And so it's kind of amazing how they work together. And so you'll probably see that as we begin. So who's first on the list?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think Patrick is first, if I have
think
this
you're right.
Were you following too, Michael? But I think Patrick was under the impression we were doing tarot cards. Of course, we clarified that. But I'm going to go ahead and pull one for Patrick first. And if you want to be on standby for Gala, I think, Michael?
Yeah, I believe you're correct about that.
All right, Patrick. This particular card is number 27, and it's gains. And this is what it is. It's in the spirituality suit, by the way. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. So it's very often, I often say it's trading up. So if you want something, generally you have to also like either relinquish a belief or surrender something in order to keep moving forward and expanding. So that's, I think, what that's trying to say to you, Patrick.
All right.
For Gala, Michael.
And for Gala, I've pulled number 12. Spirit, cosmos, and divine energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate all the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Good one, Gala.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had that card in a while.
No, it's very fortuitous that it came on during this discussion.
All right, Sherry, well, I believe is next.
Hi, Sherry. Good to have you here. I have number 19 for you. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means to summon your It's a means of summoning your own truth. I'm sorry about that. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own path and live according to the path that's right for you. So, sure, you can seek other advice, collect all that, but really, you got to go with what's right for you. So, I think that goes for all of us, Sherry, but this one is, if it resonates for you in some way tonight, then that's great. Michael, we have Jeff next.
All right. And, for Jeff, I pulled number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles. Soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
good one. So if that resonates with you tonight, Dr. Jeff. Now, I have Taz. And Taz, I pulled energy signatures for you. And that's number 26. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you might be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. I kind of love that card. Energy signature. You know, it's the good vibe, the bad vibe, the, you know, smile vibe, miserable, you know, that kind of thing. But really, it's, that one's for you, Taz. So if that kind of resonates in a situation or your life today, that's great. Otherwise, I'm going to take that one myself.
Well, energy signatures explain so much about relationships and why we have the circle of friends that we do, why we're in the relationships we're in, why we're in the intimate relationships we're in, and so forth, and why some of those relationships are toxic. You know, they don't, energy signatures don't mesh. They don't harmonize. And it's all based on the principle that like attracts like. And so if we want to have healthy relationships, the first place to start is the relationship we have with ourselves. We need to make our energy signatures healthy. And that means educating ourselves, growing, learning, evolving, and taking our power back, you know, protecting our boundaries, not trying to control other people or change other people. Those things all make us healthy, you know, and empowering ourselves, growing our self-esteem and our self-acceptance, our self-concept. And once we're in a healthy place, then we tend to attract people with a similar harmonic energy signature, and we tend to repel people who don't harmonize with us. That's why when one person grows and another person doesn't in a relationship, they grow apart. And a lot of times it's not reconcilable. You know, they've grown apart. They're different people now. They haven't grown together, or they haven't grown along together. They haven't both grown, just one has. And they say, well, you've changed. Well, you have, and hopefully in a healthy way. All right. So that's the inner oracle cards. If you'd like more information on those, you can visit metaphysicalhumanism.org and click on the store link at the top, and you can get a deck of those cards yourself. All right, so we've talked about a lot of things tonight, soul versus spirit, the differences between the two. We talked about gains, spirit, cosmos, divine energy, invoking the counselor within, trust and integrity, energy signatures. Hopefully it's given you some food for thought. We really appreciate Dr. Norman Wilson joining us tonight, as always, to express himself and some of his thoughts on it. Always good to have him. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael, too. And thanks to all of you who join us, either on this live broadcast or in the archives. We appreciate you being here, too. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.